Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin Burnett.
Got a question for you, my girl.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what's ridiculous?
Yes, I do.
You gonna hit a brother with it?
Yeah, I am. Hit you, brother. Okay, so there's this restaurant called New York Fries.
Okay.
That oddly enough is not located in New York.
Do they sell fries?
Yeah, they. Okay. It's a poutine place.
Oh, like the Canadian with
yeah,
the
yeah, it's all over Canada.
Cheese curds, is
mm-hmm,
it? Milk
mm-hmm.
curds? Okay.
Yeah, all over Canada, but then they have all their outside Canada locations are like in UAE and Saudi Arabia and
so
Panama.
It's a brand. New York is a brand in this case. Like
I,
it's like
I
a stamp,
so.
A theme.
I guess, because I don't know what New York has to do with any of this, but
because they don't sell poutine. I mean, I guess I'm sure they do somewhere, but New York is not known for
not
its poutine
known for
fries.
It. Not in the least, as far as I know.
Okay.
The big poutine.
Yeah.
So a rude dude on Instagram, EP.
Mm-hmm. What up, EP?
Lovely Canadian pointed this out to me. They're having this 12 days of giveaways thing for the holidays.
Okay. It's like their lead up to Boxing Day.
Yeah, sure. And on
the
day
12th
five,
day of, okay, go on.
On day five, they have some prizes up for grabs. And you have to be a Canadian resident. It ended December 15th, like, whatevs. So you can win a hot dog dad hat.
Like,
it just has a hot dog on it, but I guess it's a dad hat.
Oh, it's a dad hat, not a hot dog dad.
I like hot dog dad. A hot dog neon sign.
Okay.
A New York Fries loaded dog of choice.
Sure.
Because they have hot dogs, hot dogs. And then there's this other item, a hot dog water candle.
Wait, what? Is it a floating candle?
When EP sent this to us, they circled that part in red.
Good,
like,
good
I'm sorry,
call.
What? But I went to, I got onto Facebook. You don't have to be a Facebook member to look at this thing, but you can see their post for that day. And all the comments have nothing to do with hot. Everyone just like, oh, I love a loaded dog.
They just skip past
yeah,
the whole
just like,
hot dog
it's a normal thing.
Candle.
So I was trying to find this. It's from Bad Candle Company, Hot Dog Water.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, okay, where could I get this?
Sure, why
to
not?
To light it, just sneak into your house and light it. So they have them on, it's a company has them on Etsy, $25, $24.99.
Wow.
The label says hot dog water, but apparently you pick from a drop-down menu, and it has regular scents. So this, it's just the label that says hot dog water.
Wait.
So, like, you can pick clean cotton, sea salt, and orchid. White sage and lavender sold out, Zarin. I'm so sorry.
Damn.
Apple harvest, which just sounds hellacious. Sorry, bad candle company. And cinnamon vanilla, also hellacious to me.
Yeah, why run cinnamon and vanilla together? Just, like, pick one.
Well, it's like a snickerdoodle.
Oh, yeah, I guess
there you
so.
Go. There so, you. Stop
I'd
it.
I thought about that. Thanks.
So this bad candle company does hot dog water, and it's just the label on the candles. I say, coward, make it into a real disgusting
I
candle.
I want to know about this hot dog candle. Is it supposed to be floating in the bath with me to like create a vibe?
Well, it looks like this.
Oh, okay. So it's not. I was picturing a hot dog-shaped candle that floats on top of the bath.
This is for the folks
you know,
who
like they have
boil
like the,
their hot dogs.
Oh, you know like how they have the roses that you can light and they float?
Do you do that?
Well, you've seen those, right?
I bet you do that, don't
I
you?
I do not. I don't even... Well, okay, maybe once. I just needed a little special me time.
It was in college. I was experimenting.
I had a couple $400 to spend. I dropped it on candles. I backed it up.
Backed up candles?
Anyway, you know what's else ridiculous?
Yes, I would love to know what else is ridiculous.
Hollywood.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like that place is wild. I told you I used to work there,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I've acted, I did TV shows, I was in some movies, I did voice work for a cartoon, I made some indie films, I shot music videos, I wrote scripts on spec, I polished scripts for others, for money, of course. Basically, you could say I was an art mercenary, right? Like, I would merc anything for a dollar. And I know, I loved it. I love Hollywood. And I learned about its ways with money. And I say with full awareness, Hollywood is crazy with money.
Yeah.
I mean, just stupid with it, mm-hmm. right? All the wrong people have the money or they control it, right? And if you stay in that town long enough, you'll surprise yourself with what you will do for money. I mean, just ask anyone who hosts a game show. I mean, they did not come down there to host a game show. Anyway,
true.
These days, people are critical of, like, Nepo babies. You hear a lot of
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, Nepo babies.
Nepo babies, yeah, right? And you make no mistake, Hollywood is a family business. That's yeah. one of its secrets you learn real quick.
Oh, yeah.
That and the place has a long memory. But a mm-hmm. quick turnover, which is interesting because you're like, oh, yeah, people come and go, but those who stay, they remember.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, and they also know each other. You have to keep that in mind, right? Which is ultimately why it's so hard to run a long con or become like a real good scammer in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You see
I get
my
that.
Point?
Yeah, yeah.
But it happens, of course. I mean, of course it happens. Often. It happens often, right? But usually those, if you want to work as a scammer in Hollywood, you have to milk all the newcomers and all the egotists who just, they don't know any better, but they will pay you to tell them. You still have a chance to make it.
Right.
Right? Now, I know this all sounds a little dark and a little sad. I'm sorry about that. But Hollywood, it's a sunlit noir town, right? Make no mistake. So, Elizabeth, you ready to talk Hollywood crime?
Zarin, yes, I am.
We're going to get stupid with it.
Yes.
3, 2, 1, action. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Thank you. Now, for this story, Elizabeth, a few different rude dudes sent in this as a suggestion, this first one.
Okay.
Thank you for that, all of you. Please keep them coming. We always dig your suggestions. Now, Elizabeth, I'd like you to meet Carl Eric Wrench.
Carl Eric Wrench.
Wrench, like R-I-N-S-C-H, not like a ratchet.
A ratchet wrench.
Wrench. Yeah, no.
Wrench.
Now, he's been in the news lately. You may have seen his name because he's been accused of ripping off Netflix.
Oh, good for him.
Wasting their money on crypto and like on dope rides. Yeah.
Is this why they can't pay writers?
Pretty much. This is where the money is going. So the New York Times, they covered this saga recently with a November 22nd story. Ripped from the headlines, Elizabeth. Now, the story was entitled, quote, "The Strange $55 Million Saga of a Netflix Series You'll Never See."
Well, that's a large category.
For you in particular, yes.
Well, yeah, because I don't watch television. But yes. Don't they make, like, aren't there tons of shows that get made but never make it to air?
For studios, yes.
But
the streamers didn't do that as much. This is kind of a big misstep for them.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, the studios have, like, you know, pilot season where they make a bunch of shows, test them. They're willing to put the money into, like, one episode and try it. Maybe even two. But with streamers, they made a whole series.
Okay.
They shot the series, and you're not going to see the series.
Wow. Like,
that's a lot to lose.
Because I know people who are like, yeah, I'm in this TV show,
yes.
and it might be made,
that
and I've done a couple episodes,
totally.
And then it never makes, yeah.
Yeah, now that's very old traditional Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Now we're into, new dumb money, right? So... Anyway, the writer John Carreyrou, he did a fantastic job. Check out the story. He tracks all the many twists, turns of jaw-dropping revelations. All right, so anyway, who is Carl Eric Wrench?
I'd love to know.
All right, how did he get Netflix to give him $55 million?
That's a good question.
Great question, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Did you ever see the Keanu Reeves movie, 47 Ronin?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of it?
Vague memories. I'll just watch anything with Keanu Reeves in it.
I know that about you. That's why I guess you may have seen this.
Yeah, I've seen it, but golly, it was a while ago.
Okay, well, Carl Wrench, he directed it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, that's what gets his calling card movie.
Okay.
It was an astounding bomb at the box office.
Yeah.
The studio had
I was alone in the theater.
Were you?
No, I don't know.
I've been to a lot of movies where I was alone or with the one person I brought with me, and I have to apologize. I'm like, well, or we're going to be in for a great show. It's just us. So intimate. Anyway, studio had to write off a loss of $175 million.
Wow.
That's what they lost. Yeah, IGN, I went to look for reviews because I saw this, but I didn't see it in a theater. I saw it like on HBO or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's where I saw it.
It's not really a fair way to see a movie, in my opinion, if you're going to review it. I mean, you can, but you don't get the full effect or what the filmmaker intended.
Right.
Right? So IGN, they saw it in the theaters and they gave it a 6.1 out of 10.
Well, that's better than 50%.
That would be a D in school.
That would be a D.
Now, in their review of 47, Rowan, and IGN described the film as, quote, a serviceable action movie that fails to either capture the emotional essence of the titular tale or bring anything genuinely fresh, invigorating, or memorable to its rendition, which is pretty much your review. I don't really remember it.
I don't really remember it. Exactly.
Now, after further disparaging the film, the reviewer concludes, and I quote, mildly entertaining and gorgeous to look at, 47 Ronin has little beneath the surface to recommend it. There are a few good fights, though.
Well, hey.
Yeah. That's actually how I describe the city of Pittsburgh. Mildly entertaining and gorgeous to look at.
And some fights.
So that's Philadelphia. That's how. Anyway, so how does a filmmaker with one film to his name, a film that lost its studio $175 million and has reviews like this, mildly entertaining, gorgeous to look at, how does he convince Netflix to give him a fresh 55 mil?
Well, here's another question I have for you. I've heard that sometimes studios will make bombs on purpose in order to get that as a write-off, as a loss.
They will write off what they think is a bomb, but they won't make a bomb
make
to lose money.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If once it's being made, they realize it's going bad, then they start that process.
Okay.
So that's why you'll hear like films like the Boondock Saints guy, when there's a documentary about him where Harvey Weinstein just tanks his movie because he does not personally like him. And he's making the movie for Harvey Weinstein, which is a terrible mistake to turn on the producer of your film. Regardless of Harvey Weinstein is a terrible person, I'm just saying it's bad business. This guy comes into Hollywood. He's like, oh, I'm going to be the man, right? And he learns a terrible lesson, which is you do not piss off the one man that controls if your movie goes to theaters.
Yeah.
So he was willing to tank it because he can write it off as a loss. So they always have that option.
Okay.
Right. And that's why you see it currently being done. But that guy for Warner Brothers is an idiot. Like, I'm not going to get into this as well. But anyway, the answer is, Elizabeth, market dynamics, baby.
Market dynamics.
That's why. See, I put it in, you know, market speak. So you know all about supply and demand, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in 2018, the streamers, they tried to meet this growing demand for new films and series. So what do? They go, oh, we don't know what's good, so let's just throw insane amounts of money at things.
Right.
I don't know. I guess that
money
was the
makes
answer.
It better.
Yeah, right. So Carl Wrench, he had a series to pitch at this time. Perfectly timed for him. The streamers were eager to take a meeting. His project is this sci-fi series about artificial humans that will eventually turn on their human creators. Everybody loves that. Takes a whirlwind series of meetings. He goes over to Jeff Bezos' company because Amazon is getting into it with the Amazon Prime stuff. They offer him an 8-figure agreement to bring the series to Amazon.
Wow.
Yeah. Netflix hears about this and they're like, baby. Before Wrench could put pen to paper on the Amazon deal, Netflix backed up the money truck and offered the filmmaker even more cash. So he gets an 8-figure offer. Now they call him at home on a Sunday. And Netflix not only offered him money, they offered him control, which is what every filmmaker wants, right? So they offer the filmmaker creative control, which means he gets final cut. That's huge. Like you have to be like James Cameron to get final cut. Anyway, Netflix puts in writing that he would also be attached to any future spinoffs or reboots.
Oh.
He's locked into the series.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So he's like Stan Lee on this world or whatever. Anyway, so the final deal, $55 million they offer him. That big paycheck, it made business headlines, but it also apparently made business sense at the time because Netflix prayed in that capitalist way that their new show would spawn a whole creative universe. They're like, this is an initial investment.
Yeah.
This idea's got legs, right? So now, armed with this unheard level of control, the promise of future involvement, a huge payday, what does Carl Wrench do?
Does not make the show.
He opted to never finish a single episode, instead just pocket the money.
Oh my God.
So according to many of those who cared for him or were close to him, as soon as he signed the deal with Netflix, it was like a switch was hit. He just changed immediately. Just whoosh, and whatever occurred inside of him, he was a new Carl Wrench, multimillionaire. So it's not like he started big-timing people. I don't mean that. I mean, he did do that. But what I mean is more like he became untethered from reality, right? So, for instance, he began to tell people that he could predict when and where lightning strikes would occur.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also he discovered that how COVID-19 was being transmitted via a secret conduit of nature.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah. he grew extremely, really overconfident about his ability to discern patterns in the stock market.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he took a bunch of Netflix's money and he dropped it in onto the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ and so forth. And, then he bought a bunch of crypto because, you know, that's another good bet. He bought himself a Rolls Royce because now he needs to roll around town looking like, you know, clean. Bought himself a new wardrobe, same reason. He became that guy in Hollywood, like the old film producer.
Yeah,
right?
It sounds like almost like that money payday triggered a mild psychosis.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's like something just either he'd always wanted this and finally now he just released, you know, I always talk about like pulling back the bowstring on a bow, right? And having the arrow, just all that tension, all of a sudden the money released it. That arrow is flying.
Yeah.
So now wherever it's going, it's where it's going. You
right.
know? Anyway, so he's got all the trappings, all the taste of outsized success with none of the work. Yeah, ta-da!
Of course.
All
right? That sounds great.
He found the secret, Elizabeth. They talked about the secret. This is
the secret.
The secret. Now, anyway, but of course, there eventually would come court proceedings. So he didn't really find the secret, but whatever. If you can believe it, Carl Rynch, he took Netflix to court. He's the one.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, that's right. He's suing them right
now.
Sue
me, sue you.
Yeah, so what's his reason? How could he possibly? He says they didn't give him enough money.
That's why he didn't make it.
He claims that Netflix needs to give him another $14 million.
In order to finish this.
Hey, man, I don't know. Anyway, he says they're contractually obligated. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
So obviously Netflix's legal response was, ha, 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 are you effing high? Like, how do we owe you money? Are you for real right now? Along those, but in legal terms.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know how you put that in legal terms. I think
the,
it was like party of the first part, are you effing high, party of the second part, something like that. Anyway, how do we get here? How did this dude end up being the one suing Netflix? How does he have such brass ones?
I am desperate to know.
It's Hollywood, baby. Now, there's another key component of Hollywood we haven't discussed yet. It's a big part of the machine's function. We call it hype.
That you can convince people that things are amazing.
Town practically runs on it.
Yeah, emperor clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, walking around nude going, look at me, baby. Now, some folks, they learn how to manipulate hype to their benefit. That brings us to Mr. Rynch. That was his real secret. So before we dive into his backstory, let's take a little break now that I've wet your whistle.
Oh, and yes, you have.
We'll get back and see how these millions get spent.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, Elizabeth.
Yes, sir.
We're back. Mm-hmm. You ready for some backstory?
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it all film-like, you know? We're going to know the backstory. Now, okay, let's see if we can ferret...
This is the prequel.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see if we can ferret out some answers to this man's audacity.
Yes, right?
There's got to be some reason he's doing it. It can't just be purely psychosis. Or what is driving the psychosis? What is here?
Right.
Anyway, Carl Wrench, born in sunny San Fernando Valley.
Mm.
Just over the hill from Hollywood.
Oh, so he's
for those
a native
who don't know.
Son.
Exactly.
Of the South
he's like Land. Tim Burton. He's like looking over the hill this whole time, dreaming about one day.
Yes.
Anyway, in his teens, he shot little films, once again, like Tim Burton or Spielberg, another one. He went off to one of the Ivies for college. He went to Brown University. After school, flies back to LA, starts his film career. Everything so far going apace. He gets a job working for Ridley Scott.
Wow.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, he gets to work for his production company, but the one that mostly shoots commercials.
Okay.
A lot of the most film directors, they have a production company that shoots commercials, and that's a great way to get your start.
Yeah.
Young film people work for those people shooting their commercials. They have to make money. So
I watched some true crime documentary that I can't recall recently, because you know my memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I remember it was produced by Ridley Scott.
Oh, he does a lot.
Me.
Yeah, totally. He's, like I'm saying, the filmmakers do way more than just the stuff you see. They have to now. I mean, it's become an urgent need.
Yeah.
For the longest time, like all of them, Steven Soderbergh, they all like shoot commercials on the side or have a production company that handles stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so point being, around this time, folks note that Carl Wrench, he had an interesting past that he would describe. He always kept it in mysterious terms, right? He said that his father had been a spy.
Mm-hmm.
He said he grew up in Africa. This gave him a certain international air, right? Mm-hmm. So in 2010, he shoots his own film. Finally, you know, things start to work for him. It's a commercial, though, for the company Philips, the European company, right? So the short, it's a short film, but it's an ad. Anyway, it wins an award at Cannes, but not the Cannes Film Festival, the Cannes Advertising Festival.
Oh, okay.
But he wins, right?
Yeah.
So this paves his way into a Hollywood director seat. Boom, boom, boom. First project, he picks 47 Ronin.
Film,
yeah, looked great, but it had no heart, no center. We've covered that, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the producers, Scott Stuber, he battled this first-time director and tried to like bring him to heel. And at some point, Wrench, he gets barred from the editing bay. Like, he loses control of his film. Yeah, so the film, it premiered on Christmas Day in 2013. And as we covered, colossal failure, loses $175 million. Smash cut, 5 years later.
Well, and Christmas Day is like an important opening.
Like you expect.
You know, that's a film that they believe in.
Yes, they're putting a big marketing budget behind you.
They're not hiding it in like August.
No, exactly. Yeah. Good call.
Thank you.
Now, smash cut, 5 years later. After making commercials for a few years, Wrench now finds himself back in the good graces of Hollywood. He's worked his way back to, he makes really pretty pictures. You know, maybe he can direct. Anyway, but not the film studios, because remember, like I said, long memory.
Uh-huh.
It's now the new streamers, and they're looking for stuff. His stuff looks good. They're like, this guy's great.
Well, they're like tech disruptors.
Exactly.
Where they're going to try and do it. They think they're going to do it in a better way that's already been proven to...
Yeah. And they love a shiny thing that moves fast. So the Wrench, at this point, he's married. He's got an Uruguayan fashion designer model, Gabriela. Now, together, they came up with this new idea for the series. Mm. So she's his creative partner. The story focused on the new species called, quote, organic intelligent.
Okay.
So this is OI, right? So the OI are designed to respond compassionately and efficiently to humanitarian crises, disasters, human needs of all kinds. The new species, of course, eventually turns on us and, and they try to wipe out humanity.
Yeah.
And, of course, the idea being that we cause all the problems that OI must fix.
Right, right.
So the solution's obvious. Fix the problem at the source. So anyway, you can hear the sci-fi potential. It's like Battlestar Galactica meets iRobot.
Okay.
All right. So potential buyers, they could see that for themselves. They're like, oh, dollar signs. I love this. Now, Wrench, he pays for a small shoot to make sure that they can really see the potential, not just hear the idea and imagine. And the potential, but see it, you know, moving and look slick and sexy.
Yeah.
He hires European actors and actresses. They shoot footage in far-flung places, Kenya, Romania. The shoots, they were punishing. One actor allegedly caught hypothermia and had to be hospitalized. He runs a rough set, from what
it
I understand.
Sounds like it.
So despite the difficulties, setbacks, Wrench, he believes in his projects. He seeks help. He turns over to 30 West. That's a production company that's run by a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, billionaire's name's Dan Friedkin. Money gets advanced. Project goes on. And then Wrench, he misses a deadline. He misses another deadline. Friedkin and his company, 30 West, are like, it's our project now.
Uh-huh.
And they start trying to claim to it. They threaten that we're going to seize the project, take it over, you know, the bond company or whatever, like all the stuff you hear. So Wrench, he turns to an old friend for help. Enter Keanu Reeves.
Keanu.
Man is like a living, Labrador Retriever. You know what I mean? He's just so good.
He's a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
And I say that because if you say things enough, it manifests.
Totally.
So one day I will be good friends with Keanu Reeves.
There you go.
See, it's going to make it happen.
It's going to happen. So your close personal friend, Keanu Reeves,
yes,
as you know, sweetheart, he comes on board as a producer, invests in his friend's project. Things start looking good again. He helps him make his deadlines. He now picks up the money gaps. Everything works resuming. Six shorts are produced. They're all like 4 to 10 minutes long, so you can get an idea. This is what he takes to Amazon and Netflix and Apple TV. And
like a sizzle reel? Is that what that is?
No, it's a little smaller, but this would be like basically you're showing them the potential and you want to show that you're really invested. So you've created kind of like a spec project.
Yeah, just a little peek at
exactly.
It.
So this
I
is what
he used. I just love the word, this phrase, sizzle reel. That just kills me.
Those are a little shorter, a couple minutes long. Yeah. They show you that. Anyway, so he starts a bidding war. They're all excited. The project looks amazing. Like I said, everybody, big money. Netflix wins the bidding war. They immediately rename the project Conquest. Whatever. This is now, at this point, we're in November 2018.
What was it originally named?
He didn't really have a name for it. He talks about the organic intelligence.
Okay.
Right? And he had like, he wanted it to be something other than Conquest.
That sounds like a 60s, 70s television show, 1 hour procedural.
Yeah. No, I only liked it when the Jack White did it as a song. Like, that's, I think, the only time.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, the streamer planned to debut the new series 2022. He's got basically 3 years to make it because it's November 2018 at this point. Mm-hmm. They want to release it in 2022. Plenty of time to make a whole series. Meanwhile, working at Netflix is Wrench's old producer, Scott Stuber.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, right? He's in the movie division at Netflix, though, not the TV series division.
Okay.
So no one asked him what he thought of the deal. He didn't hear about it. Of course, his opinion probably would have saved them a lot of money.
Right.
So the streamers, they don't benefit from Hollywood's long memory. Instead, the project gets greenlit. Netflix wired rinse the money to get started. And the project, now known as Conquest, it starts shooting in Brazil. Not only that, it has multiple international locales. So you got people far flung. There's shoots in Budapest, Hungary, locations in Uruguay, I guess so she can see her family. I don't know. As the shoot goes, Netflix starts to hear complaints, accusations, some back chatter, right? The filmmaker Wrench is apparently, he's angered the unions. The union reps report to that Wrench has been, quote, mistreating the team and that he has been quick with the cursing and shouts and other expressions of excessive irritation.
Huh.
So Netflix, they contact Wrench. They're like, hey, man, calm down the unions. We don't need this.
Tranquilo.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So meanwhile, back on set, Wrench is spiraling at this point. In Budapest, he accuses his wife of hiring assassins to have him killed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Things are going bad, right? So Netflix has no idea. But anyway, in response, he starts gobbling up Vyance, the pills. It's a type of prescribed amphetamine.
Huh.
Yeah. So the side effects of this drug are mania, delirium, psychosis.
Oh,
it's just a winter drug, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like throwing fire on top of a already blazing fire.
Yeah.
Not just gas. And then, like, you threw some gasoline in just because you want to see the two
get
along.
Oh, my God.
So now that he's, like, you know, claiming his wife's trying to have assassins kill him, she reaches out to family, friends, people who care about him. They decide, let's stage an intervention. Good. You know, good for them, right?
It's needed sometimes.
Oh, I've had to be there. And now, despite his allegations that she's trying to have him assassinated, wife lovingly does this, right? She invites Keanu Reeves to come and talk to his old friend. He shows up. Like I said, good guy. Now, they all convince Wrench he needs to go to rehab. He needs to accept help, right? He needs to get his life back together while he has this project going. He says, you know what, guys? I got too much work right now to do all that rehab you're talking about.
Yeah.
But how about this? I will hire a sober companion and I will just have like a one-man rehab, move around with me, and they'll keep me. This is like what John Belushi did at the end. He actually had, I think it was Joe Walsh from the Eagles as his sober companion.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
That's like the last person.
So this guy's supposed to keep him on the right path, right? So a few days later, he fires the sober companion. He's like, I can't hang with this guy. He won't let me get high, you know, or whatever. I don't know what he said. Then a few months later, COVID hits. So now his production gets shut down for a moment. They take a pause. He tries to figure out how they're going to move on. Eventually, the productions get back to work with masks and regulations and so forth. He's still finishing this series on a 2022 deadline. Nothing has changed about that. Netflix is like, we gave you the money, but give us a show.
Yeah.
So at this point, Netflix has sunk $44 million into the series. They've left out a little bit, you know, for finishing funds or for the back half. I don't know what the payment schedule was. Anyway, Rent also at this point has blown numerous deadlines. Once again, he's back on, you know, hey, what's the deadline? So what do you think Netflix says when Wrench comes to them and says, I need more money? This is not him now later suing, but in the process,
in the
he
moment,
goes, hey, I need more money.
They say,
well, can we see a script? Like, what are we dealing with? They don't even know what he's shooting. So the series, which they had originally agreed to, was planned to be 13 episodes long. So now Wrench wants to make it twice as long. So with a second season. So Netflix is like, yeah, okay, sure. We'll send
we
you more money.
We know how they feel about second seasons.
Right? Well, in this case, they actually go for it. They're like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, we like it. Second season. So they send them more money. And I mean like a lot more money. They send them $11 million.
Wow.
They wire him the cash. What does he do with it? He needed this money. He pulls it out of the escrow account and he invested in crypto in the stock market.
Oh my God.
He drops $10.5 million of the $11 million into his Charles Schwab account and he decides to play the options market because that's always a safe bet.
Oh no.
He places a bunch of risky bets. For instance, he buys shares of Gilead Sciences.
Well, that was not bad.
Good call, right? But he's convinced they're about to make a bundle on a new antiviral COVID drug, but others beat them to market. So he lost a bunch. He also bet on Standard & Poor's Index, the S&P 500.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, he'd lost 5.9 million of the 11 million. At this point, he also loses his wife. So she's like, look, I've had it up to here. I tried the intervention. Now you get the money. We get the project going. What do? You buy.
And so he sat through an intervention.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Wow. Yeah. So
you've been to one.
Yeah. I've been to one. Yeah. Yeah. Not fun. No. In June of 2020, wife and Rich, they try to make like a last ditch. Can we pull the like marriage and this project we've worked so hard to, can we get them all back on road? They take a drive through the Hollywood Hills. They're up there like on Mulholland and he's gazing down at the city below. And then he looks up at the planes above and he tells his wife that those are not planes. Those are UFOs. And they're actually, quote, organic intelligent forces. And he's communicating with them. And she's like, oh,
he's
great.
Still popping them pills.
Yeah. So around the same time, he texts his wife and shares a little secret. This is when he tells her.
Like while he's driving.
Yeah. He's like, hey, baby, you know, I can predict lightning strikes. You just want to be careful coming up. Right. And he's also, I now can predict volcanoes.
Oh.
So he's moving on. Yeah. He's got, you know, volcanology under his belt. So in July, his wife's like, okay, I want a divorce. This is it. We're out. Yeah. Not only that, she informs Netflix that her husband is unhinged because he's her business partner. She's in on this.
Right.
She's like, he's unbalanced. He's unlikely to finish the production. Netflix execs are like, we had noticed some strange behavior.
Oh my God.
When I say strange behavior, they had received emails where he's like, quote, the coronavirus signal is emanating from within the earth. And they're like, yeah, that is kind of some strange behavior. But you know how creatives are.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. And things get better, if you will, or worse, however you want to look at it for Netflix, because you might think this would spell the beginning of the end of this project at Netflix. One would think they're going to put this into turnaround. Like they're going to put a pause on it.
Mm-hmm.
You would be wrong. Why? Because of the high turnover. Remember I mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
Well, Netflix reshuffled its executives and they got rid of the executive who'd brought the project in and the one who'd sent them all the money. She leaves Netflix.
Yeah.
So at this point, the new executive who's now in charge of Conquest. Oh, like, can we see the footage? Because like I'm now in charge.
Yeah.
And his wife's like, oh yeah, he's got the footage. And if I ask him for that, he may do things you don't like. He may come down to your office. I mean, you don't want that, right? And they're like, really? And he's like, oh yeah, he's fully paranoid, delusional. They're like, oh. Okay, well, that's cool. Then, so Netflix takes the other route. They inform the production that they're going to need their money back. So they're like, can we get our 55 mil back?
Yeah.
And so at this point, it's now March 2021. And things have changed for the streaming wars. The subscribers at this point, the numbers have stalled. In some cases, are starting to go down. As the New York Times reported, Netflix came to the conclusion, quote, after a lot of time and effort, it became clear that Mr. Rinch was never going to complete the project he'd agreed to make. And so we wrote the project off. They went the route of, you're now a tax write-off,
right? Yeah, yeah.
So the streamer informed Gabriella and thus Rinch that they were free to shop the project around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and if they can find a new buyer, the new acquirer will have to give us $55 million.
Right, right. Oh,
so that
man.
Did not sit well with Carl Rinch. So he sends back a flurry of hotly worded emails.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and he addressed the elephant in the room, his sanity, and he wrote to Netflix, to state it simply, I am of sound mind and body. At the point you're telling people that in an email.
I was just going to say that. If you have to try and argue the fact that, you know, you got it together.
And you're not doing it in person. You're doing it in email.
An email.
That's like 10 times worse.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so to his credit, he was looking crazy, but crazy like a fox. You see, while he lost a ton in the stock market, he also made a huge windfall on his crypto bet.
Oh.
Yeah, because he'd purchased a bunch of Dogecoin. And he invested $4 million into Dogecoin. But it turned out, I guess this is when Elon was helping to pump and dump it.
Right,
because he sold
right.
off his holdings. His $4 million had bloomed into $27 million.
Wow.
Now he's on the come up.
So did he pull it out?
He pulled it out. And he wrote in some crypto forum I found. He's like, thank you and God bless crypto.
Oh, right? God.
So at this point, he could have paid Netflix at least half of their money back. So what does he do, Elizabeth? Remember, he's getting divorced, right? So what does he do?
Oh, he pays nothing to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So his soon-to-be ex-wife, Gabriella, she hired a forensic accountant who unearthed the whole trail of where all the money went because it wasn't like he was hiding it well.
Right.
So according to the New York Times, Rinch purchase, quote, 5 Rolls Royces, a Ferrari, a $387,630 Vacheron Constantin watch, and millions of dollars worth of high-end furniture and designer clothing.
Wow.
Final sum, $8.7 million. To his wife's lawyers, he claimed that the money was not his, and that this, the cars, the wardrobe, even the watch, the furniture, they were all props for conquest, and thus they belonged to Netflix.
Stop.
And they could not be part of any divorce agreement.
Well, then Netflix is like, can we have it back?
Exactly. Meanwhile, in his arbitration with Netflix's lawyers, he argued that the money is his, and that not only that, Netflix is contractually obligated to owe him $14 million.
Oh,
so Netflix's lawyers held the position, we disagree. And at this point, the parties are they're still in court. So in July of this year, Netflix's lawyers argued that any monies promised to Wrench were contingent on his meeting production schedule deadlines, which he's thus far blown or ignored.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I'm betting on Netflix to win this one. What do you think, Elizabeth?
I would second that.
Now, since we don't have closure on this story, I thought I'd share another tale of a con artist who tried to finesse Netflix for millions. Only this next cat, he pretended he was in business with Netflix so he could convince investors that he had their backing.
Now,
how do you think that played out?
Not good, Bob.
I'll give you a hint. He's on this show. So let's take a little break and we'll be right back and I'll tell you the story of Adam Joyner.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
All right, Elizabeth.
Yes, Darren.
We're back.
Yes.
Elizabeth, I'd like you to meet my friend and neighbor, Adam Joyner.
Hi, Adam.
No,
that name sounds
really
familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you know him. I covered this guy's story as a journalist, and maybe you heard me talking about
Probably.
Him in the past. I went to court, and I sat there as he had to face justice.
Yeah.
I got to watch his moments, right?
Yeah,
And having seen his whole vibe in person, I'm super surprised that he thought he could pull this off. Like, I'm just saying that, right? Anyway, Adam Joyner, dude's 38 to 41 throughout this, right? So anyway, late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
So he was your typical Hollywood hopeful, right? He came to town with an idea for a film, and he firmly believed he just needed to find a few investors, a Hollywood insider, someone who'd give him a chance, someone who could shepherd his film through the production process, and then boom, 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 he'd be the newest Hollywood hit filmmaker, right? A success story. Now, Adam Joyner is from my neck of the woods. He went to Oakmont High School in Roseville, California. He graduated in 1996. He started out life not far from my hometown of Davis. Reading about this cat, he reminded me of dudes I grew up with. I felt like, I know this guy, right? So anyway, Adam Joyner has this idea for a film. Oh, actually, no, that's not right. It was his brother's idea. His brother had an idea for a film. And
okay.
His brother wrote up a feature script for this story he called Legends. And according to IMDb, the would-be film was going to be an anachronistic mashup of legendary and historical figures from 19th century America, such as Davy Crockett, Calamity Jane, Paul Bunyan, and John Henry.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Okay.
Do with that what you will. But as far as ideas go, it's kind of cute. You know, and as an elevator pitch, it leaves you wondering, well, what would that even look like? What would that be? Which is what you want from a good pitch. And it kind of sounds like a film. Anyway.
Yeah.
So September 4th, 2014, Adam Joyner incorporates a production company, Dark Planet Pictures, and then he goes looking for money. 1 year later, he gets lucky. He meets a man who takes him seriously. And this man's name is John Yee. Now, John Yee is, he works for a Korean investment firm. He was curious about this film project, and he's like, this sounds like this could go. It's got legs. And Joyner's like, oh, yeah, totally, man. So this is because Joyner is lying to him, right? And he's telling him he has a distribution agreement with Netflix, and he's just looking for investors. It's not that the guy's sparking to his idea. He's sparking to the conditions of his idea.
Yes.
Now, Yee is intrigued, and he approaches an investment guy he knows, Paul Huh, and his buddy Paul works at Korea Investment Partners Company, or KIP, and they're who ends up investing in this project, and projects like this. I've worked with Korean investors like this. So Paul Huh, he's located in Korea. Joyner is in California. They primarily talk over emails, a few phone calls. September 9th, 2016, Joyner emails Paul, and he informs him, quote, things have begun to pick up steam with Netflix as a potential investor in the film. I have another meeting with them this week. Now that sets the hook. 3 days later, he emails him again. He gets the little yank on the line. He writes to Paul on Netflix, had another good meeting with them yesterday and expect to receive a contract from them by the end of the week. So none of this is true.
Yeah, now, okay.
Or even remotely likely to come true.
Okay.
It was what we in the story industry call a lie. Now, what I've been in this position, like I, not the lying part, but I've been in business with Korean investors. In fact, the company that I helped start, we merged with a Korean company. I know these investors very well. A lot of paperwork and due diligence is done. They're not fly by the night.
Right.
At least that was the case for us. Now, we had distribution deals in place, so we had to show them this. We had to email. We did exactly what he pretends to do. Now, in terms of independent, non-studio-backed Hollywood distribution deals go, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. It often plays out like this. A production company will secure a distribution deal with domestic or possibly foreign distributors before a single frame has been shot, before actors have been cast, anything.
Yeah.
And then the company will, they take this guaranteed distribution agreement around to like groups of dentists or whatever, and they raise money. And then they're willing to kick in on this high-risk investment. And then once you get the movie going, the studios will then come along and purchase that. That's how an indie film gets picked up.
Okay.
So you make the movie up with other people's money, and then the studio basically recoups, and now the investors get that first bit, and then they also will get money if it, you know, goes to theaters.
Right.
So it's good for them, but not all movies get picked up.
Sure.
So they're betting on you can get it through the process.
Yeah.
So it wasn't unusual for Joyner to be doing business the way he's doing it, right? The Korean investors were like, sure, okay, so show us the deal. If you have a deal. He did not have a deal. Now, but he hoped his lies would eventually catch up to reality. That was, I think, his goal. Now, the Korean investors, they were going to wire him millions of dollars for a production. So they asked for confirmation of the deal with Netflix. And Paul wrote to Joyner, per our conversation, please ask someone at Netflix to fax it again tomorrow and also send it to the Gmail's account below from Netflix domain email.
Yeah.
Right? Very clear. At this point, Joyner's so close to the money, he can practically smell it. So he just needs to send over one email. And so he does. April 7, 2016, a fax arrives in Korea. The cover letter says that it serves to, quote, confirm an agreement between Netflix, Inc. and Dark Planet Pictures, LLC, executed on March 31st, 2016. The fax is signed by a man with the title of Vice President, Business and Legal Affairs, Content Acquisition for Netflix.
Okay.
All right. And to further seal the deal, Joyner forwards an email from this same Netflix executive. The email arrives sent from a Netflix email domain.
Huh.
In the forwarded email is the distribution agreement, and it's signed by a third Netflix executive billed as the chief content officer. It all looks legit.
Right.
Not that hard to fake, though. I can just tell you that
really?
Right now.
Okay.
Yes. So to fully set the hook, Joyner forwards an email from a second Netflix executive, also from a Netflix domain account, obviously. And the exec says, looking forward to making this movie.
Wait, so he's forwarding. They're not directly.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
He's forwarding emails. Yeah. So due to the opaque nature of business in Hollywood, Paul and his Korean investment firms, they can't really confirm who these Netflix are and who would be involved, who would be in charge. So they're relying on these forwarded email chains for veracity. And also the faxes. And the signed distribution. I mean, it looks pretty good on paper when there's a bunch of them together. In conglomerate, it looks legitimate. Day of deliberation later, the Korean investment firm signs an investment deal with Joyner. The investment is $8 million.
Huh.
A week later, the first half of the investment is wired to Joyner's bank account. He's now got $4 million in his Bank of America account.
And nothing to show for
it. He's done it. He's conned his way into millions of dollars. He's got four more on the backside coming in eventually.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is a married man, a father of three girls, And the crimes he's engaging in, wire fraud, false, accounting, so forth, is a maximum sentence of 20 years behind bars in federal prison he's setting himself up for.
Oh, God.
At this moment, though, he's not thinking about any of that.
No.
Because he's got $4 million of other people's money, Elizabeth. April 15th, ironically, 2016, a.k.a. tax day, Joyner takes a trip down to the bank and he withdraws $800,000. And he transfers it to a little joint account he and his wife share.
Oh,
cute.
It's not make a nice trail there, dude.
Exactly. Not a business account either. So now that he's tasted success from his con job, Joyner wants more. He goes back. He double dips. He approaches a second set of foreign investors, this time Chinese investors. Could the scam work twice, Elizabeth?
Oh, man.
You better believe it did,
oh,
baby.
Man.
He contacts Star Century Pictures Company Limited, which is an affiliate of PGA Young Park Capital Limited, and which is in itself an investment firm in the People's Republic of China.
Uh-huh.
So using the same fraudulent paperwork he used to scam the Korean investors, Joyner's able to peel an additional $6 million out of his new Chinese investors.
Wow.
He now has $10 million of other people's money parked in his bank accounts with $4 million to come.
Oh, God.
Adam Joyner has done it. And now he feels like an official Hollywood player, baby. So he starts to live like it. Elizabeth, you just conned foreign investors out of $10 million. What would you do with it?
Hide it somewhere. I don't know. Swiss bank account. I'd disappear. They're going to come and get you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's the summer of 2016 at this point, so there's plenty of stuff to buy, plenty of stuff to enjoy, very pre-COVID, everybody's like out. So what does Joyner spend his loot on? How does he get loose with it? Well, rather than tell you about it, Elizabeth, I'd like you to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
And picture it. Elizabeth, you are a Southern California realtor, one who sells homes in the Manhattan Beach area.
Mm.
It's a Saturday, one of your busiest days of the week. You're at your third home tour of the day. At the moment, you're standing on the second floor deck. The gentle ocean breeze thrills against your cheek as the seabirds sound in the distance. The married couple on the second floor patio with you, they whisper between themselves. After you hear their whispers fall silent, you gracefully turn and you ask the pair, Mr. and Mrs. Joyner, can you imagine stepping out onto this patio, filling your lungs with that ocean air and enjoying the fruits of all of your hard work? The husband looks at his wife. His smile is wide, proud. He replies, I sure can. Now, the house is one of your long daddies. You're hoping to move soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Manhattan Beach dream home is 4,265 square feet.
Dang.
It boasts five bedrooms and five baths. The price tag for this beauty, $5.35 million.
Ooh-wee.
The pictures don't do the place justice. Also, the all-white on white with touches of slate and gray, that decor, that wasn't your idea. But anyway, that said, here are a few pics so you could describe what you're looking at in realtor terms. Like, could you sell me on this, Elizabeth?
Oh, sure. Well, I happen to have the description of the dream home from Zillow.
Oh, perfect.
You know I love Zillow. Inside this California Dream beach house, you discover that the ground floor features a large family room, secluded bathroom suite, mudroom, and three-car garage. The second level showcases a striking vaulted beam ceiling, great room with fireplace, private office, gourmet kitchen with top-of-the-line appliances, dining nook, walk-in butler's pantry, cozy den with fireplace, and a barbecue deck.
Okay, you got my attention. I'm listening. But like the Joyners, I'm still on the fence. Make me want to wire my money.
Okay. Located in the heart of Old Manhattan, the hidden gem of the Sand section, this peaceful enclave is the only area of MB that offers tree-lined streets with sidewalks and parking on both sides of the street. The ideal northwest corner lot location allows for abundant full-day natural light, panoramic hill section views, and a beautiful bank of lush landscaping along the eastern side yard.
Ah, yes, talk that talk. You know what I think the key is? If you're paying 5.5 mil, you want trees on both sides of the street.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, come on now,
come
right?
Come on.
Okay, well, here's what the houses look like in full living color.
Mm-hmm.
Feast your eyes on that.
Oh, wow. From the outside, it just looks like a steamship, like a paddle boat steamer on the...
Totally.
And then those are bushes. Those aren't trees
no,
on that side of the street.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just like white anemic.
It looks like Tyler Perry designed this place.
I would like to see a cluttered home.
For, like, rich people. You know, he's like, here, I think this is what rich people like.
That's not good, dude.
No, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, as the tour of the dream beach home nears its end, you take a read of the couple. You can't tell if they're into it or not. Back downstairs, you point out the ground-level patio and casually compliment the prospective buyer. You say with a smile in your voice, you seem like the kind of husband who'd really appreciate having your own barbecue deck. Mrs. Joyner shares a look with her husband. They both smile, a conspiratorial grin. Seems you hit your mark. To seal the deal, you say, and Mrs. Joyner, if I'm guessing right, I'm betting you may want to keep some of the all-white furniture. She nods enthusiastically. Sure looks like you've made your sale, Elizabeth.
Oh,
so you go for broke, and you say, if you guys want to make it official, like right now with an offer, I happen to have a bottle of champagne in the fridge and some champagne flutes. Shall I do the honors? After you call your office with their offer on the Dream Beach House, you all cheers.
I hate myself.
Well, you did it, Elizabeth.
We did it.
You just helped the Joiners spend their ill-gotten gains.
They got two kids. They're going to keep the all-white interior.
Three girls.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Luckily, not three boys. So anyway, to purchase, I mean, girls can be messy too. Don't get me wrong. But for everybody, I'm not a parent, but from everything I hear, if you have three boys, good luck with your
home. Well, and if one of them's a toddler.
Oh, yeah.
Forget
definitely.
About it.
Oh, yeah. No, forget about it. Sure. I mean, I don't mean to be like, you know, undercutting the kind of messes girls can make.
I can be just as messy as a man.
You are right.
More so.
Yes, even more so. Now, 3 weeks after all of this, he was wired $6 million from his Chinese investors, Star Century. So mm-hmm. Joyner pulled that money back out immediately, and he transferred $160,500 to his California investor escrow company. Then that was a deposit on the home he just bought from you.
Wow. Wait, what was his deposit?
$160,000. That was like his, just
oh,
his
just
little,
his,
like,
I see. It's
hold
the,
this. This is mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
what
wasn't
do they call
a down
that?
Payment. It's
I
like,
can't remember what it's called. Yeah. Honestly, and I don't care what it's called.
What I don't get is it sure seems like, even though he's now fully blowing his wad of other people's money on yes. a home for his family, it seems like Adam Joyner still planned to make his movie Legends because
oh,
he started
kidding?
To reach out some real hitters. Like, enter the true Hollywood players, Elizabeth.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this cat.
Keanu?
No, he's already circling. No, not in this story. The cat that Joyner approached to make his dreams come true is this dude named Don Murphy. Now, if you're deep into film history, you know Don Murphy, but unlikely for most other people, I'll just explain it. Joyner plans to pay Don Murphy to shepherd his film forward and make the necessary connections and introductions to Hollywood heavyweights, right? So Don Murphy is one of those like gruff old school producer types, right? The kind of used to like stink of cigars and he'd produce Natural Born Killers for Oliver Stone, right?
Okay.
In fact, he'd taken the script from a young Quentin Tarantino who was trying to break into Hollywood at this point, and he convinced Oliver Stone to come aboard and to direct it. So he makes it, much to Tarantino's dismay, and because he lost control, and that's where he started being like, I'm going to lock down everything.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Don Murphy later went on to produce movies for Michael Bay. He's that kind of guy.
Oh, okay. So
Adam Joyner contacts Don Murphy. He's like, I want to blow stuff up, you know, like, I got money. And he's like, what do we do? And he's like, so he asked them, do for me what you did for Tarantino. And he's like, no, Don Murphy's like, sure, kid, but it'll cost you $1 million. Specifically, he said $1.2 million.
Okay, very precise.
No, I act like he's some cigar chomping 70-year-old. This dude is a Gen X producer. He was like born in 1967.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So Joyner's stoked. They're close enough in age that they get each other. So he sends an update to his investors. He tells Paul that he, quote, was expecting to secure Don Murphy by this Friday to be our, quote, name producer for the film. Don has done all the Transformer movies and several others. He has discussed wanting to bring in Michael Bay to direct, so we plan to explore that.
Oh, God.
So, none of this is true. That wasn't just kind of untrue, it was patently false. Anyway, Joyner transfers the first installment to an escrow account to be transferred to Don Murphy. Meanwhile, that same summer, he finally closes in on his new beach house. He transfers $5,192,916.92 to the California investor escrow. And then, about 5 weeks later, on September 12th, Joyner transferred another $120,000 into the joint account that he shared with his wife. I assume this is to decorate and furnish the home.
Probably.
Right? You know, I got to get more all white furniture. So anyway, in total, Joyner at this point has transferred $920,000 to his personal joint account as well. And he has dropped 5.35 on the Manhattan Beach Dream House in total. Grand total, $6.27 million.
Mm.
Also throw in the $1.2 million he's promised Don Murphy. So all of this in his prior transfers and all that, it leaves a tidy sum of $3.126 million for his Legends movie.
Okay.
Not a lot left.
Not
but
a whole lot.
Guess what happens next? Enter Steven Spielberg, Guillermo del Toro, and Oscar hopeful Bradley Cooper.
What?
Yes. So if you're going to distract someone, Elizabeth, it helps if you have a shiny object. And it doesn't have to be literally shiny. It can be Steven Spielberg shiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's what he does. He needs to catch their attention. And those names did it. See how you popped up?
Oh, yeah.
On October 1st, 2016, Adam Joyner sends a new update to his Asian investors. Specifically, he tells them, we agreed to terms verbally yesterday with Guillermo del Toro and his agent. This was another lie.
Oh, totally.
The one he told to buy himself some time. So months pass. No new deals are announced. He's still trying to, like, get Don Murphy to make this happen. No director signs onto the project. Don Murphy's got his money, but ain't nothing happening. So his investors grow anxious. Joyner decides to up the wattage of the star power. He brings in Bradley Cooper and Steven Spielberg. He says he's shopping the project to Spielberg's company, Amblin, and it looks like Steven is talking about bringing Bradley aboard. And of course, you know, Bradley Cooper, not Brad Pitt. You don't want to keep your Brad separate.
Sure, sure.
So Joyner informs his investors what this all means. He'll need to cancel their Netflix deal so they can jump to Universal and Spielberg's company. Then he sends over a new memorandum of understanding so that way there's paper. The truth is, there's no deal with Spielberg. Not in place, not in distribution, not in the wind, not in talks, nothing. Just like in reality, there's no Netflix deal. And now there's no longer even an imaginary Netflix deal. So there's just nothing. So this is a problem for his Asian investors.
Yeah.
They want their money back. So that's going to be difficult unless they want a beach house in California. So what are you going to do? Joyner goes for broke. He turns around and he asks for more money. He's like, you want your money back? I want more money from you. And they're like, what? He must be onto something. There's no way would ask us for money if they were conning us. Who would do that? Elizabeth, that's the move apparently for these guys. It's like, when in doubt, ask for more money.
Yeah.
And it keeps them off their toes. Business people are like, what does he know?
Right,
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Carl Rindt, his play works just like for this guy. Boldness strikes. And KIP transfers the second half of their $8 million investment. So now he's got all the Asian investors' money that's been contractually obligated. So this at this point, January 11th, 2017, he's got the extra $4 million. 2 days later, he transfers that to his business account. He's like, whoop, and that goes to me? Now, he hasn't told his business partners this, but he's starting a second project now. So the second project, get this, is called Stock Car Willie. And there's no way you'll guess this, but according to IMDb, the film is about, quote, an African-American driver who turns the world of NASCAR upside down.
Stock Car Willie.
Yeah, Stock Car Willie.
Okay.
Like Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Shotgun Willie.
Now, there is a real-life black NASCAR and F1 driver whose name is Willie T. Ribbs.
Right,
and
right.
I assume that's who this...
That must be.
Or maybe it's a fictional tale of a black NASCAR driver, like, you know, Talladega Nights style.
A magical driver.
Magical. Oh, man. But I find it interesting that this project is where he wants to invest his Asian investors' money without their consent. I'm like, that's not going to play.
What is his end game on this?
Anyway.
Like, honestly, where does he think this is all going to go?
I do not know. It's the wildest. When I sat there in court behind him, that was the only question I was burning into the back of his head. I was like, what was your play, man? How did you think it was going to end?
Yeah.
You obviously didn't think it was going to end here.
Right.
You didn't get yourself a good lawyer, so you didn't save money for that. So
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Anyway, meanwhile, no news from Don Murphy. That's bad. Now, his name producer is not bringing in any names. So the foreign investors finally lose their patience. They email Joyner demanding proof of where their money is, and they want notarized bank statements. Joyner does as requested. He sends them a forged, notarized monthly bank statement. In his falsified doc, it shows that his business account has $11.8 million. And he's like, yeah, there it is. The true amount in the account, $32,628.
Oh my God.
So on March 31st, Joyner sends his investors the bad news. We lost Bradley Cooper.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he cites, quote, internal politics with Universal Amblin, you know, and says things went badly after, quote, Bradley Cooper turned down the agreement with Universal. Universal decided to refuse payments to Amblin. It's a whole thing.
Man, what if Bradley Cooper finds out?
I know, that's it. Tears it. His foreign investors, they come for their money. They're like, look, man, hands out. And on April 26, 2017, lawyers in the United States representing the Chinese investment firm Star Century and then PGA Young Park Capital, they file a lawsuit in the L.A. Superior Courthouse in Torrance. They're like, we can reach you. We can touch you, bro.
Uh-huh.
We got lawyers.
Uh-huh.
So they demand the new Manhattan Beach House because they also have forensic accountants. They found out where the money
and
went.
And all the wife's Lululemon.
Exactly. So Jones tries to fight the lawsuit in court. 6 months of infighting. Then the judge orders the sheriff to auction off the house. So his Manhattan Beach House gets sold. The investors, meanwhile, they contact Don Murphy. They're like, we hear you got $1.2 million of our money. He's like, who are you people?
Right.
What are you talking about? He has no idea. He's never heard about them. Because he's never been pitched any of this, right? So he's at this point received $200,000 from the promised $1.2 million.
Yeah.
The investors determined that Joyner had transferred $400,000 of that back to himself. So he had also been conning Don Murphy, apparently.
God.
Enter the FBI.
Yeah.
So, July 18th. FBI surveils the Manhattan Beach dream house. They're looking for him. They're like, where is this Joyner? Agents contact Don Murphy. They're like, when's the last time you talked to Joyner? They contact Netflix. Have you talked to Joyner? Who's the... And they ask all the questions. They're like, we don't know this guy. We've never heard of him.
Yeah.
They contact Steven Spielberg's Amblin. They contact Bradley Cooper's reps. They contact everybody. Everyone's like, who?
Yeah.
August 27th, FBI returns to the beach house to arrest Adam Joyner. They have all their ducks in a row now. He's away on vacation with his family. Perhaps he wanted one last long look at freedom before he was going to spend the rest of his life in federal prison. Anyway, he contacts the FBI after he hears that they're looking for him via his lawyers, and he arranges his own arrest. He promises that he'll surrender himself just as soon as he's back from vacation. This is the only promise he keeps. He does surrender himself. Yeah. So now, did he really think he could sit in his ill-gotten beach house and just be like telling his overseas investors, come at me, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's what I love.
What did he think was going to happen?
That was his approach. He really was like, look, we're done. They're
far away.
This is done. This is over. He sent them emails of like, don't contact Don Murphy anymore. I heard you contacted. Don't do that. Dude, this is over. I don't even want to deal with you guys. And he's like, they're like, you have our money, bro. And he's like,
audacity.
You know what? That's not the issue. So anyway. Oh, by the way, he eventually entered a guilty plea in federal courthouse when I was there. Mm-hmm. And he was sentenced to 8 years in federal prison.
Yikes.
Yeah. So see your girls cooking in there. 8 years.
Yeah.
Adam Joyner's story proves the point. If you're in the U.S., if you steal $14 worth of food, the cops, they may shoot you. Don't do that, right?
Yeah.
But if you steal $14 million, a U.S. attorney will contact you and they ask you to turn yourself in and then you can arrange
when
it,
you get
if you
back
want.
From your vacation.
You get back from vacation. That's how you do it. So remember, kids, if you're going to steal, steal big.
That's right.
Anyway, that's it. That's all I got for you. What's our ridiculous takeaway, Elizabeth?
Hollywood's wow.
I told you, get stupid with it, right?
Exactly.
As always, you can find us online, Ridiculous Crime, on Twitter. X, whatever, Instagram, Threads, at your mama's house. We have a website, ridiculouscrime.com. We also like your talkbacks. Email us if you want at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time, y'all. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by the Steven Spielberg to our Bradley Cooper, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa. Can we get a grant for our documentary? Brown. And Andrea, I think my German investors will love this song, Sharpened Tear. Our theme song is by Thomas. I got a group of dentists in Toledo who want to invest. Lee. And Travis, I have a bunch of podiatrists from Pasadena looking for a film project. Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben Cecil B. DeBolin and Noel Always Bet on Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.